Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
If you have a Bible, we're reading from John 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the tree vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's been quite a weekend, hasn't it, with wonderful news of ordinations. Chris's ordination yesterday over at St. Paul's and our fantastic commissioning, our licensing of Anne-Marie Wilson this morning. Folks, it's obviously a weekend for people to make some quite significant decisions and have them sort of ratified, have them sort of broadcast to the world in all sorts of different ways. Can I just say to everyone in church this evening that when church celebrates ordinations or licensings, strange things happen. Because there are people sitting in St. Barnabas today who will have the Holy Spirit saying to them, it's your turn. What about you? There will be people in church tonight who are thinking, probably silently to themselves, actually, is God asking something of me, something specific? I wouldn't at all be surprised if there's a number of people in church tonight who have some sense of calling to ordination, some sense of calling to be a missionary, some sense of calling to be commissioned for a particular task. Don't ignore it. And if you do have that sense of nagging feeling within, I want to hear about it. Because I am without doubt that the Holy Spirit is continuing to work in all of our churches across North London. He's doing some fantastic things at the moment. I'm without doubt that God will be continuing to raise up tomorrow's leaders across our churches, as the church is renewed in each generation. So if you've been moved, perhaps, by something that Anne-Marie has said, if you've been moved by Chris's story, and there's something now which is stirring within you, don't ignore it. I want to hear from you. It's a great time of year for telling stories. Telling stories of the way in which the Holy Spirit has been at work in different people's lives. People giving their life to Jesus. People offering themselves for ordination. Having all sorts of moments in the life of the church up and down the country. Hundreds of people have been ordained this weekend. And people have been able to tell their story of what's led them to that particular point and beyond. And stories and memories are important. The way they shape us as individuals, the way in which we are shaped as communities. We are a bundle of stories in so many different ways. And the reading we've just heard, you know, John chapter 15, 1 to 8, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, the church which I went to when I was growing up, I sang in the choir. And those very words were written on the kneeler just in front of the table, just in front of the altar. Sown in. I am the vine, you are the branches. And I've spent about 35 years thinking about those words. What do those words mean? I am the vine, you are the branches. They've stuck with me from that hassock. They've stuck with me from that kneeler in front of that altar all those years ago. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, I like vines. I particularly like the fruit of vines. In fact, last night with my family, I did enjoy several glasses of the fruit of vines. And very nice it was too. Hands up if you like the fruit of vines. Very good. Hands up if you've ever seen vines growing. Very good. Well travelled, that's very good. And vines are extraordinary, aren't they? They're really kind of long, spindly things. And so I thought, perhaps for the benefit of those who haven't seen vines, because we don't get many of them in this country, I thought perhaps we would create a vine this evening. So I've been doing my research. I'm sorry it's so small, but there we go. There's brown bits and black bits and green bits. If that's what a vine looks like, all those different sections and things like that. But you don't need to see this, do you? Because I think we can do slightly better than this. So I need someone who's fairly tall as a volunteer, please. Okay, very good. Your hand was straight up there. Very good. Well done. Can we give my friend here a round of applause? Excellent. Now, have you got strong arms?
Yes.
That's very, very helpful. I'm not quite sure why that's helpful yet. Right, so if we're thinking about vines then, what's underneath? What can't you see in a vine? Roots, absolutely spot on. So we need some roots, don't we? So let's have, in fact, let's move this one here and then people can see your, there we go, very good. So I need two other volunteers. I don't mind people being short for this one, actually. I'm not trying to be sizist in any kind of way. But if there's a couple of people who are relatively short, that would be excellent for this moment. I've got... No, I've got definitely shaking heads over there. If not, I shall just start picking on people. Oh, thank you, Roz. You're not that short, Roz. That's all right. Well, you are, actually, but that's another matter. if you can just... if you could, because you're going to be our roots. Is that all right? So I think if you can have the roots, just cover up those legs, because that's a bit much of a Sunday evening. No, you'll stand up. Yes, that'd be good. That's good. So we've got roots. And as we all know, for any tree or any kind of thing that grows, the roots go down a long way for it to be strong. So our vine that we're creating tonight has got really, really strong roots. Okay, they go everywhere. They're all over the place and they hide the legs, which is extremely important. Right, above the roots, what do we get to next? Oh, a trunk, very, very good. Oh, Henry, look at that. He's called, as well as being a sort of keen the sports person, he's good at horticulture as well, which is very good. We've got the trunk. So anyone like to help me with the trunk? I thought you were up for it, St. Bees. Come on. Yeah, very good. So someone over there. Yes, come on, you can come over. Give my friends here a big round of applause, can we please? How very exciting. So we've got roots and then we've got a nice strong trunk. So can you just hold the trunk just there? Is that all right? Can you just hold it there? We might need another volunteer actually just on the other side now for these high ones. Can we have someone else just to go the other side and hold the other side of trunks? Very good. Thank you very much indeed. Another round of applause, please, as we create the vine. Now, if you can just go in slightly, that's right, just hide in front of Roz. There we go. So we've got good, strong roots. We've now got a very strong trunk because it needs to be a strong trunk for everything else to grow, doesn't it? The next part going up. Now, I didn't know this part. This is a new word for me. Well, the word isn't new. I try not to use it, I hasten to add. But the next part of the vine is called a what? Does anyone know? It's called a sucker. Okay? It's called a sucker. Now, I didn't know that, so that was a new one for me. Who wants to be a sucker? Another volunteer. Come on, then. Oh, look, lots of hands are going up now. Very good. There's lots of suckers at St. Bees. There we go. Right. Now, if you can just sort of hold that there. Is that all right? In fact, do you want to go and just, can you just sort of stand around the other side? Is that all? That's fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. So we've got strong roots, we've got a strong trunk, and now we've got a sucker. Next thing above the sucker, what do we get to next? We're not at the branches yet, folks. There's still more to go, I hasten to add. The next one is called the shoots, okay? So we're going towards the top of the vine now. This is the shoots. Who would like to be some good... thank you very much indeed. That's extremely good news. There we go. Yes, a big round of applause. And so, I'm very sorry about this. I do apologise, but we've got to do that. Is that all right?
Yeah.
There we go. You can still breathe, can't you? Very, very good. Right, and the very top of the vine is the... Branches. Very good. Can you just stick your hands up in the air? Is that all right? Can you do that? That's very good. Who wants to be branches? All of you should be putting your hands up by this point. Come on, then. We need two people for this bit, so do you want to come up as well? Excellent. Let's give them a wonderful big round of applause. So, we need to... Can you put your hands right up in the air? There we go. Imagine Colin's leading worship again. And... Can we have that one just up there? Can you just reach? Is that all right? Can you do that? And is that all right? Hello, do you want to come? Can you come stand a couple of steps forward? Is that all right? And just come forward a little bit. That's good. In fact, why don't you take that one? Can you reach that one? And then, brilliant, brilliant. And what I'd really like you to do now, please, Michael, is just to wiggle your fingers. So, I hope someone... Is this going on to Twitter? I do hope so. Because when you think about Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, what he's really saying is that you're the fingers up there at the top. And he does the rest of the work. Okay, get a good mental image of that, because the roots and the trunk, the sucker and the shoots, these are all the vine. And we, part of the vine, just form our little fingers, which are there floating around at the very top of our wonderful vine tree. There we go. Wriggle your fingers one more time. Excellent. Very good to get a sense of proportion. Can we give them all a big round of applause, please? Well done. Thank you. So you and I are the branches. You and I are the fruits. The fruits that don't do very well, the branches that don't do very well, we're told and pruned off. I'll try not to cut any fingers tonight. But we are the branches, and Jesus Christ is the vine remaining indwelling in the life of that vine. And do you know what? When Jesus was first telling this story, more about John 15 and where it comes in the gospel in just a few moments' time, but when Jesus was telling this extraordinary story, giving the disciples this extraordinary picture of the church and how the church operates, do you know the people that were listening there, who would have known their Old Testament studies, some of them, they were catapulted back to a number of the Old Testament prophets. Because when Jesus gives this extraordinary picture of the vine, he takes them right back to Isaiah and to Jeremiah, to Hosea, to Ezekiel, because they all use vine imagery. They all talk about the vine, and in their eyes, of course, they were saying the vine was Israel. So this is a really radical point. This is Jesus making a really radical point when he describes himself as the vine. He's describing himself as the new Israel, the place of promise, the people of promise that we are to be indwelling into. In the same way, of course, when we get to Jeremiah chapter 5, we are told in Jeremiah that God prunes. God prunes the vine. God prunes the vine so the vine may grow further, offer more fruits. And so when Jesus again is using this language, people understand completely that he is being very radical here. He's saying something about himself. He's saying something about his mission and his ministry. And as the branches, he's saying, do you know what? You are vital to this image. You are vital members of my vine, he says. Because actually, without you, there is no fruit. Because the fruit there is at the end of the branches, and you are the branches. So actually, each of you, as branches, form an intricate part of that vine, indwelling with Jesus Christ. There's no escape. It's absolutely glorious image here of the new Israel. This wonderful, glorious image of Jesus talking about something new. Now, of course, we need to remember, don't we, that this does come in chapter 15. And if you ever sit down and read from chapter 13 to chapter 17 of John's Gospel, I strongly recommend you do it, because God is saying the most remarkable things. Throughout those chapters, slowly but surely, the Holy Spirit, through those words, is saying, come on, indwell, come in a bit closer. Come in a bit closer, and I'll reveal something even more about my great, generous, extraordinary love for you. Come in a bit closer. I want to draw you in, because there's something deep of revelation that's taking place here. And it starts, of course, this section, when we get to the final discourses, this is Jesus preparing the way. Tomorrow, he's going to go to the cross. And when we get to these parts of John's Gospel, actually, he's preparing the disciples for the cross, and he has just had the Last Supper. But of course, as John tells us, the Last Supper isn't just sharing food, drinking drinks. Jesus actively takes a towel around his waist, and he goes round to everyone, and he washes their feet. That's the task of a slave. That's the task of a servant. He's taking the form of a servant, and he's daring to get up close and personal to wash feet. You must do the same. If you are part of the vine, you must do the same with those that you see around you. Washing feet, pastoral care, taking the form of a servant. That's exactly what he's going to be doing in the course of the next day when he goes to the cross. But he gives them a new commandment as well. The commandment is that you need to go and love one another. Go and love one another. Extraordinary words of Jesus Christ. Go, he says, go and love. These words do not come cheaply. Because when we remember at this particular part of the gospel, what's just happened? Well, Jesus has just ordered Judas to leave the room. Go, he says, go and do what you have to do. It's an imperative from Jesus. He's saying, you've got to go. You've got to leave. You've got to go and betray me. I know this is about to happen. What else takes place? Well, of course, he predicts that Peter is going to deny him. Can you imagine the electric atmosphere of that dinner table with all these things taking place with a bunch of probably quite bewildered disciples, not fully grasping what's going on? Betrayal. Denial, washing feet, taking the form of a servant, and telling people they need to love each other. And then this imagery, he moves quite quickly, doesn't he, Jesus? He starts talking about indwelling. Remain in me as I in you. Remain as part of the vine. So he goes on to say at some later moment, so the Father and I may come and make our home in you. So extraordinary is the indwelling imagery that Jesus gives us in this part of John's Gospel. He actually says, I'm going to come and make my home in you. So when you think about these extraordinary words in these particular chapters of John's Gospel, we are being drawn into the very heart of God. And then, of course, we get to chapter 17, which is the private priestly prayer of Jesus, where we have this extraordinary window into the heart of God himself. Jesus and the Father having a conversation. Jesus praying for unity and praying that glory will be God's alone. Now, these things are important, of course. They set the scene, but as does tomorrow, as does Good Friday, as does the events of the resurrection. Because when we think of Jesus being the vine, when he describes himself as the vine, of course, it's not divorced from the cross and the resurrection. You cannot divorce the vine from the cross. Yes, it's about preparation, but when he says to us, remain in me, be at the heart of where I am, abide in me as I abide in you. When he's presenting that, he's actually thinking of these words through the events of the next 4 days. And when he says, abide in me, He's saying, abide in the one whose body was broken. Abide in the one who carries the marks of the crucifixion. Abide in the one on whom all the sin of the world was laid upon his shoulders, in order that you and I might receive the gift of forgiveness, that you and I might receive the gift of eternity. It's through that that Jesus was saying, remain in me, remain in my love. And then, of course, as we know from the Pentecost readings of John's Gospel, what does he do? He breathes on them. He breathes on them, breathes new life into them. This is not new life from someone who is just, just suddenly popped in somewhere. But this is the one who is resurrected. This is the one who still bears the marks of the crucifixion. That is the life that he breathes into you. A life which is not divorced from all the sadnesses and all the concerns and all the worries of the world. Because Jesus understands each of those. And he still bears the marks of the cross to prove it. Indeed, as he prays for you. And so when we think about what does it mean to remain in his love, to remain in the vine, to abide in the vine, he's referring to our lives of prayer. Our constant communication with God in Jesus Christ. It's that wonderful image, isn't it, that St. Paul gives to us from his letter to the Romans, that actually when we pray, it's the Spirit of God that does the hard work. And it's the Spirit of God that enables you and I to cry, Abba, Father. Again, it's about generosity. It's about indwelling. The Spirit enables us to pray. This is God abiding in us as we abide in him, remaining part of that vine. We can't be separated, we are told, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what it means to be indwelling, to remain in the gift of that vine. It means we're not divorced from the cross. We're not divorced from the resurrection. We are not divorced from Pentecost, but we are caught up in this beautiful divine relationship. And at its core is God's generosity for each and every one of us. My friends, there are some fantastic things going on here at St. Bees, and I want to say thank you to you. The fruits which you offer are extraordinary, and I really enjoy praying for you. I want to see these fruits grow. And of course, if we're thinking about fruits and we're thinking about vines, vines have to grow on something. Vines grow on trellises. That's where you come in. That's where the PCC comes in. That's where the decision making comes in. You are the trellis that the vine can then grow through. So I want to say thank you for the way in which you gear yourself up in mission. Because this generous giving God who wants to abide in us as we abide in him actually is missional. That is the image of God that the scriptures give to us. So I commend you for being missional. I want to say thank you to you for your outward focus. You're wanting to make a difference in the wider community and internationally, as we've already heard this evening. I commend you, my friends, particularly over the next few years, because moving house is difficult. Moving house can be quite stressful, as I'm sure many people here realize and know. It's not the easiest of times. And I commend each of you that even though things might get a little bit fraught as you move house, it happens to all of us, remain in the vine. The trellis might be changing. The vine is not changing. The vine remains constant because Jesus Christ is constant yesterday, today, and forever. And we remain in that vine, even though the apparatus that the vine might be hanging on might be changing a little bit. But I commend you to remind yourselves that you are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And it's being rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ that we see great fruits. Because if we start changing our focus, the fruits will dry up and disappear. But remain in that glorious vine. Abide in Jesus as Jesus has made his home in you. Extraordinary things will continue to take place as directed and as led by the Holy Spirit. Friends, our task together here at St. Bees, and it is a task that we share together, is about encouraging others to recognize their place that Jesus has created for them on that vine. The vine, of course, the trunk is all knotted and it's all, none of it's perfect, of course, because it bears the marks of the crucifixion. This is recognizing our brokenness. It's there. If you look at a vine, it's all bobbly. Some bits are a bit rough, like some bits of us are a bit rough. But we remain in that vine, tinged with the cross, full of the joys of the peace of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit breathing from the vine in order to bring new life to others, encouraging life in all of its fullness. Friends, it is a great joy to be a Christian, isn't it? It's a great joy that we recognize in our scriptures we have a God of generosity, a God of love, a God of belonging. And I pray that each of you daily, as the Spirit enables your hearts to cry, Abba, Father, I pray that each of you daily will rejoice. For he is the vine, you are the branches. Amen.
If you have a Bible, we're reading from John 15, beginning at verse 1.